Welcome to Words, Words, Words. This is your host, Robert Pinajero. On today's episode, I'll be talking about something I call vehicular rhetoric. And so this term might sound weird, but basically it's talking about the rhetoric and our cars or vehicles. And so this might sound a little weird, but people that study rhetoric study writing, language, communication, and how that impacts our lives and society. And so we look at the ways that usually language, whether it's written or verbal, have an effect on situations and once again our lives or on society. But that can also include things like visual rhetoric, so like advertisements and even colors and any other sort of visual like art or a photograph. It can also include things like body language and the effect that that communication has. And so it might be weird to think about a vehicle having communication, but what I'll be talking about today has to do more with what are our vehicles communicating about us to either ourselves or to other people, and how do we take in that message coming from somebody's vehicle. And so once again, I know this may sound weird, but for example, if we see somebody in a certain type of car, we may start making certain judgments about that person, and they may be very small judgments, or in some cases they can be kind of big stereotypes, and in some cases bad stereotypes. Or when we're looking to see the vehicle we're going to purchase, I think are not only thinking about our preferences, like aesthetically what we want our car to look like, but also kind of indirectly we're at times thinking about the message that our car is sending. And so one simple thing that we can think about is the color of our car, right? And so people have preferences. This may not be communicating necessarily as much as other features of the car that we'll be talking about here in a little bit. But for example, if somebody says, oh, you know, color doesn't communicate anything in a car, but if somebody were to ask them, okay, you can pick whatever car you want, but it has to be neon green, right? Or it has to be bright pink, or even more common colors like red and white and black and gray and blue, right? People not only have preferences, but they may be thinking about how that makes them feel, right? Or, for example, if you're going to be driving around in a car that is, you know, neon green or pink, right? People aren't going to like the way that's received by other people. And so that's just one simple example. I do want to get into now that is something I think much kind of has a deeper rhetorical effects, which is the type of car you have, right? And obviously we choose cars for their functionality, right? We may like how they look, but we also think about gas mileage and how big of a car do we need, and do we want, you know, a hybrid, or do we need a big truck with a diesel engine? But at times we're also thinking about what message maybe that car is sending to others, right? And so in a lot of cases, we are choosing a vehicle that's going to help us get around. And if we have a family, that's going to help our family get around. But everyone can, you need to get a point A to point B, and you have a lot of different options. And so you might think about what message is it sending if you have a small two-door car as opposed to a big truck, or an SUV, or a four-door vehicle, or a minivan. And so the minivan's interesting, right? Because I know a lot of people that said, well, when I become a parent, there's no way I'm getting a minivan. And it's not that a minivan is not isn't functional, right? It can be very functional if you have a family and depending on how many kids you have, but they feel that the minivan just kind of sends a message about, you know, how you are, like maybe you're not cool anymore, right? Or you're not a cool parent. You're turning into your parents or your grandparents, right? And so that's where rhetoric comes in, when we start thinking about, well, what message is the vehicle I'm in sending? And somewhere where that also comes about is in the brand that you're driving. And so the first thing I thought about, you know, I live in Texas and trucks are big here, as they are, you know, in a lot of places in the country. But people will choose a vehicle specifically because it's a Ford, right? And they'll say, well, I'm a Ford person, or I'm a Chevy person. And it's a lot of times not even has nothing to do or little to do with the kind of functionality of the vehicle or the size of it. It's more that they are strongly affiliated with that, right? And if somebody, you know, comes in a Chevy, right, their friends might make fun of them. Oh, you, what happened to you driving Fords? You don't drive Fords anymore, right? And once again, it's sending a message to people, depending on the brand you drive. And that's just dealing with kind of trucks, right? And the example of thinking about Ford versus Chevy. But you can think about a lot of different brand types and kind of what kind of message that is sending directly or indirectly. Another way to think about vehicular rhetoric is to think about some very specific cars and what people may or may not think about somebody who's driving the car, right? And it's kind of, some of it's kind of silly, but some of it, you know, somebody really might not want a car because they know the kind of message it's sending. And so, for example, if I give you these four different kinds of cars, right, they give off a different kind of, I don't know, I guess ethos, right? So if you take, let's say, a Ford F-150, right, you might start having stereotypes or thoughts about who's driving that, even though obviously a lot of different kinds of people drive Ford F-150s. Or let's say somebody pulls up in a Hummer, right, a bright yellow Hummer. Those aren't even in production anymore, I don't think. But if somebody drives up in that, as opposed to somebody that drives up in a Jeep Wrangler, or somebody that drives up in a Mercedes, or somebody that drives up in a Mini Cooper, right? Or somebody that drives up in a Tesla, right? We start having these different thoughts, and I think as buyers, we think about, well, what message is my car sending to the world? And that might not be the main reason we're purchasing a car, but I think it's part of it. And then as people that are just driving around or walking around seeing cars, what kind of messages are these cars directly or indirectly communicating to us? And I have a personal story. Some years back, I was dating somebody and I was looking into getting a new car. And I really like the four-door Mini Coopers that had come out. And I mentioned it to her. I was like, I think I want to look at these new Mini Coopers that came out. And just right away, she said, no, you can't get that car. And I said, why not? I'm going to be the one driving it. And I could tell that she didn't say it directly, but she basically didn't want her man to be a man that drove a Mini Cooper, right? And so, right, that is exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about vehicular rhetoric. It wasn't about, she didn't bring up gas mileage or safety or the size of the car. She just knew the message that was kind of sending to people. And she didn't, like I said, want her man to be driving a Mini Cooper, which is, you know, kind of funny. But I ended up getting something else partially because she didn't want me getting the Mini Cooper, even though there's another car I liked and I ended up getting that. So as I always do in my podcast, I encourage my listeners to think about what are these messages that you think your car or other cars are sending, whether it's silly messages or, you know, stereotypical messages that can be, once again, also silly, or maybe they are negative stereotypes as well with certain cars and certain features of cars. So think about how colors affect you. Think about when you're looking for a car, not only what you're looking for, but what message you think that is kind of sending to people. And some people would say they don't care what message their car sends, right? They just want something that gets them to point A to point B. Some people don't have the luxury of choosing between a bunch of cars. They kind of have to go with what they can afford. But even then, you're making decisions a lot of times about color, size, or type of car or brand, and things like that. Another question I want to pose is, right, if we think about like a luxury car like a Ferrari, right? So let's think about a red Ferrari. So if you were to ask somebody, do you want a red Ferrari? Most, like I'm giving a red Ferrari for free, most people would say, yeah, of course, who wouldn't want a free red Ferrari? But when I was thinking about it for myself, like, would I want a red Ferrari? Sure, who's not going to take a luxury car for free? But at the same time, if I started showing up to work, I'm a teacher, if I started showing up to work in a red Ferrari, I don't think I'd like, I wouldn't want that. Like, I wouldn't like the message that it's sending. First of all, people would be thinking about, how did you come across a red Ferrari? You know, when did you start making money like that? So they start making judgments, and I just wouldn't want to be showing up to that job. And I think a lot of people with their jobs wouldn't want to be known as the person with a red Ferrari, right? So on the surface, it seems obvious that you would want that car, but then you have to start thinking about, well, do I really want to be the guy driving around in this car? So I want you to think about, and if you talk about this with your friends or family, really think about it. Would you really want that car? And if you did or didn't, why? And what message do you think it might be sending to people? And the last thing I want to talk about is features of cars and like what messages those are sending. And so one thing is license plates. And so some people get individual license plates, and some people might think that's totally cool. Some people might think, oh, only jerks get individual license plate. And of course, depending on what it says on the individual license plate, right, what is that saying about the person? What rhetorical messages is that sending? Also, bumper stickers, right? So when we're driving around, people a lot of times want to put messages about, you know, things that they like, or political messages. And so just thinking about, are you somebody that does that? How do you feel about people that do that? It's interesting to think about how those bumper stickers send these different messages. And obviously, most of these bumper stickers have visuals and words, right? Because they're trying to get something specific across. But then, what does it say about somebody that wants to put that on their vehicle and is driving around with it? And how do you feel about that? Something else I thought about was those little family stickers that people put, where it's little stick figures of like a mom and dad and kids and maybe a dog. And some people love doing that. Some people think it's super cute. Other people would say, no, I would never do that. That's really corny. Or I've seen one where there's like a family, but then there's like a spaceship from Star Wars, like shooting the family, kind of sending the message like, my family's cool because we don't do that and we support Star Wars. And then that makes me think of back to the Ford and Chevy thing. I don't know if you've seen, I haven't seen as many lately, but I used to see a lot of the little kid like peeing on the Chevy or Ford name. And right, thinking about the message you're trying to send and basically saying, oh, Chevy's crap or Ford is crap. And so think about all the things that people do to their cars or put on their cars, from, you know, from their paint jobs to putting the lights underneath, to putting the noisemakers on the mufflers, to you know, some people putting their last names on the back of the window on the truck, or the things that we hang inside our truck from the rear view, or our car from the rear view mirror. So there's all these things that we kind of don't think about them rhetorically, but they are all sending these small or big signals about maybe who we are, the message we're trying to get across. And we're receiving those signals as well as we see other people's cars and think about what messages they're sending. And then one final example that just popped up is, let's say you are single, right? And the person comes to pick you up, whether it's a, you know, male or female or whoever it is coming to pick you up, would there be certain types of cars that would give you a bad first impression, or certain features of cars that would give you a bad first impression, and kind of why is that? So that's today's episode on vehicular rhetoric. I hope you enjoyed this topic. As always, please rate and review the podcast. You can listen on all major platforms. Please share the podcast. You can contact me on Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Words, 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 and you can put in my name, Robert Dinajero. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Have a great day.